Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of Game Cabinet. This week we're reaching in for a newie but a goodie. It's not that old,
I guess.
We're reaching in and grabbing Digimon. I am your host with the red Digimon. I am Drew. With me, I have George. What color are you, good sir?
I kind of like the purple deck.
Kind of like the purple deck?
I think that's the one that I played against you way back when you taught me how to play.
Yeah, the Garurumon slash Matt deck.
It's basically just like a reanimator deck.
Yeah, it always confused me why they decided to do Garurumon in purple and do like an evil sort of the good guys, essentially. Because Matt's also blue.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, why do this guy again and not like pick somebody else who has a more borderline Digimon? But on the controls, we have, I'm sorry, I'm assigning your color, the green Hannah.
Okay, I'll take it. I was going to say, like, I mean, green or yellow. I just like those colors.
I'm only giving you green because you are our sound person, and the main color, like, the main trainer for green is Izzy.
Okay.
The computer guy. So
that's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair. I'll take it. I liked Izzy.
I love Izzy. He's wait, you mean all of this is a computer? I have one of those on me. One of my favorite bits in the entire show. I figured out how to hack the system, guys.
I think, I don't know how long the card game for Digimon's been out, but I know the like TV show is
a million years old.
I mean, it's like on par with Pokemon as mm-hmm. far as how long it's been around.
Yeah.
So,
which brings me into one of our topics today, actually. I'm very curious for, I think we're on BT8 now, I think is what these guys are coming out of. I think that's the set that's downstairs. Yeah, because 7 was Next Adventure.
But that sounds for like what, booster theme or yeah. booster something?
It's booster thing. It's
okay.
It's booster set.
Okay.
Like I had to check it because I was also like, what the heck is BT supposed to mean? And they're mm-hmm. like, it's booster set. And I was like, then why not?
It's the first letter and the last letter.
Yeah. And also maybe not just BS.
Yeah, that's why I was like, why not? I was about to be like, why not be? Oh, all right. Fair
sure.
enough.
Sure. Okay.
But I also like booster thing. I was re-listening to our first episode. There are a few points that I'll have to correct because I found significantly out more about this game.
Fair enough.
Just a few minor things that, like, I was listening to us explain the rules, and I was like, oh, that's technically wrong.
Okay.
Like, being able to play something for 12 memory, mm-hmm. even if you only have, if you're at, like, one,
mm-hmm.
technically you need to have that extra 2 to play it.
Okay.
Like, if you're at 1, you've got 11 memory to spend, essentially. You can't spend over spend over the memory gauge, so you do need to have that extra buffer. But that was, like, one of the few minor things where I was like, oh, yeah, I'll have to retrace that.
Well, hey, that's why we revisit these topics, though, is we Indeed. Learn new things, and new things happen, and we have more to talk about.
Well, and I think, in contrast to when we talked about this game the first time, we actually have enough of it to sell downstairs now.
Yeah!
Like, and I feel like that's probably a common thing for lots of stores, is that they finally, like, stabilized actually having supply in the market these days.
Well, and we have, doing a little bit of research, we were talking in our previous episode, we had talked about us catching up to Japan and such, and what we might be looking at set-wise mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So it seems like we're looking at about 3 sets a year, which isn't bad, because when we talked about Digimon last was about last April, my context was in the episode.
We've been about a year.
Yeah. So April, May, June. So we're 2 months over. It's June. This is for myself later. just so I can remember where we're at. But yeah, so it's been about a year. I think where I said that we had left off was BT5 was just about to come out. So it probably came out when 8 dropped. So about the same timeline. So it's looking like about in a year's worth of cycle, we're going to be getting 3 sets. We are officially caught up to Japan.
Sweet.
I was right in that regard where getting the Great Legends, we were still a little bit behind on that one. But once BT5 had dropped, that solidified our like catch up, essentially.
Well, gotcha. And George, correct me if I'm wrong, but with COVID's like kind of slowing down, production has been back up, so we've been getting more access to card games than we were before.
It's gotten a lot better,
like,
for sure.
Like, but like last year this time, we were struggling still to get in most of our collectible card games, and now our wall's pretty full. We're
yep.
on top of it.
Yeah, between Digimon definitely falling into that category. Dragon Ball is a little easier to get. Even Yu-Gi-Oh! Once in a while, which is always like a single print run game. Like, they literally never do like reprints on things.
Drew's just over here geeking out about his cards.
But yeah, in general, you're right. So, I mean, I guess it definitely is nice that Digimon is in that boat where, you know, it's actually able to be gotten by stores like us.
Because I feel like last episode we were like, yeah, this is fun if you can find it.
Right.
But like, everybody's sold out right
but
now.
But it's here now and people right. actually have some. We even have some of the older starter decks that came out.
Yeah.
I think that we have the Venomous Violet, which is the one that you, the
yeah.
purple one that you were saying that you were really enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a really big fan of that. I actually just thwomped Squirt with that the other
day. Oh, Kyle. Good. Yeah, yeah,
I can
yeah.
call him Kyle here. When you spend too much time online and try really hard not to use up people's real names.
Mm.
If only the people in my house could show me the same courtesy.
Oh, man. Like when I popped onto your stream that day and Katie just from the background was like, "Hi, Hannah." And I was like, "Dude, we are on a stream."
Yeah.
Do not refer to me.
Of which that is exactly the conversation we had like seconds later. I smashed my mute button and was like, "We are live. We do not use each other's real names.
I was
please."
Like, I was like, "Thanks for doxing me, man.
Oh,
I love
geez.
That.
I mean, I also, though, mention this place a lot, so it probably wouldn't be particularly hard to figure out who I am anyway.
No, that's fair.
But, yeah, we've got the purple one, which I just had a lovely time playing Kyle with.
Nice.
This is still our laundry day tradition at this point.
Oh, nice.
Like, the last few times we've gone, we just have either forgotten to save quarters for, like, doing the arcade games and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that, or it was just, hey, we're tight, so we can't afford to spend those quarters on actual
sure.
like going out and playing the games. We need to actually use those quarters for laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer doing laundry at my laundromat since my washer and dryer have left my house.
Mm.
And I just haven't wanted to buy a new one, though. I mean,
They're kind of expensive.
They're kind of expensive, and I know they have like some energy-saving stuff and whatnot nowadays, but it's also just a lot. It's a lot of excess when I can spend maybe $40 a month and go and do all of my laundry in the times that I have to go do it, so. But yeah, it's still our laundry day like tradition. We show up, we load up our machines, and at this point, we've pretty much, like I said, stopped playing arcade games, and we just roll over to a table, slap down our boxes, and start playing.
That's awesome.
It's really great for that. It really does have that magic feel of what Magic was originally supposed to be, that 30-minute at max kind of play time.
Because
mm-hmm. he and I will play a match, and wash will be done.
Mm-hmm.
We'll play another match and dry will be more or less done.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been jiving on that. But I don't know how familiar you two are with Digimon the show.
I watched it when it came out. It was
how far
real,
did you watch? Though?
It was real cute. I don't know because it's been so long since I've watched
That's
it.
That's the only reason I ask is because we've gotten to a point in the game where we're starting to like hit things outside of the cartoon as well. Like one of the main guys from Cyber Sleuths is now in it.
Yeah. So for me, watching the show, it was one of those ones that I didn't watch consistently because of the time of day it was on.
Super early in the morning and
yeah,
stuff. Yeah,
like when I was getting ready to go to school and stuff like that.
That's how
so,
I watched Beyblades for years.
So,
didn't like Beyblades. Still the only cartoon worth watching at 5 in the morning.
So I don't actually know like how far I got in it because everything I watched was disjointed.
Okay.
Because they'd do that thing where they'd start season 1 episode 1 and then they'd play it like every week or like every day
yep.
until they were done, and so I would get like episode 1 and then I'd get like episode 7 and then I'd get like episode 10 or whatever, so I don't actually know how far I got in that show. I would just watch it.
I'm in a very very similar boat. The one that
so I was the only religious one here.
Yeah, I mean I liked it, I really did, but it like it definitely got, it skewed darker than Pokemon did, like
so much
like
darker,
perpetually.
So
much
darker.
To and
wonder
then
where my edgelordness started.
The movie though, like the one that hit actual theaters
yeah,
and stuff, that
was a good movie.
It was cool. Like I definitely was like a huge fan as a kid, but it also was like so much darker. Like it, but
I've been going through and rewatching, so I very
nice.
Much understand what you mean. Where I'm like, as an adult, this is pretty dark. Like,
it
oh God.
Was. It was pretty brutal.
I have to say, I probably have to have that to thank for my love of really grim, dark stuff. Like,
mm-hmm.
just the fact that I liked Pokemon and I watched it pretty religiously, but it's pretty much as soon as I found Digimon, I became much more hooked on that. One, the creatures actually talk to us. That isn't just Meowth.
Right.
I'm a pretty big fan of that. Where my, it's to me, Pokemon trainers are rangers, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like if we're comparing them to like D&D and stuff like that, and you can communicate with your animal companion. And we kind of see that with Ash when Pokemon like talk to him, but I'd like that like minor translation to us.
Yeah.
Like, not just hearing the Pokemon's name and being like, oh, well, Ash gets it.
You don't right. like,
yeah. I don't need him to relay what that Pokemon's saying to me.
You don't like Meowth having to be the translator for all of the Pokemon ever?
No, it drives me mad. And then it's like season 5 or 6, Ash suddenly just understands all Pokemon.
I was into...
I think that's about when it happens. I just know in recent years, like, Boba Fett will come up and be like, Boba Fett. And he's like, yeah, totally. I get it. And you're like, what?
He's just, because he wants to be the very best.
Hey, and I get that. Hey, give him his bonus.
I mean, at this point, he's been, what, 12, now 13 for so many years. He had
a birthday recently.
He is a Pokemon. That's, I believe that. I think Ash is a half breed. I think Mr. Mimus is his dad.
I like to kind of take the Saved by the Bell fan theory that the guy who plays Zach Morris plays another character in Mrs. Bell's Classroom, I think is what it's called. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But he plays in that, and in that he actually has a really garbage home life. Everything's terrible. And there's this really dark fan theory that all of Saved by the Bell is that character gets into like a small accident through Mrs. Bell's Classroom. And it's a fan theory that it's actually his comatose dream is all of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, that's real depressing.
Where everything's like perfect. Everything gets wrapped up in a half hour or so. Essentially, like it's this perfect universe. I'm curious if it's the same for Ash because he's been 12 for forever. Like,
oh, if he just got in an accident a long time ago and he's just...
Did he get in an accident right before he got his Pokemon and started his adventure?
Drew,
and then it's been this...
He got electrocuted by Pikachu in like the very first episode. What if he just went comatose after that and
from
everything...
There on, and everything's just been...
This is about Digimon,
brain.
Guys. We're we're sidetracking.
But yeah,
we never do that.
I was an avid Pokemon watcher until I found Digimon, and then I started watching a lot more Digimon because of the slightly darker tones. That might be due to my own personal home life. I liked the slightly darker things at that point. I liked that the Digimon actually talked. And then one of the questions that I told George or one of you two, I was like, oh, that actually brings us into a thought that I had earlier was, we've seen kind of through season roughly 4 or 5 at this point, and I'm very curious to see what they're going to do with, I don't remember if it's season 5 or season 6, but they don't have Digimon. Like, the trainers themselves don't have Digimon. They are the Digimon.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's this whole series
that's
where...
That's bizarre.
Yeah, it's actually where I learned how to say rubber baby buggy bumpers. They're these Digimon that are mimics essentially.
Oh.
And so they start trying to mess with them by doing ridiculous tongue twisters. The one that I've never been able to get and still to this day mess with other people with is Toy Boat 5 times fast.
Oh, gosh.
Can't do it. Always comes up Toy Boat.
Yeah. Yep, that's good.
Like, it's one of those really hard ones that you're like, that's not that hard. Oh, wow, actually, that is a lot harder than I think it is.
Yeah.
Even trying in your head, you're still doing it.
Well,
huh?
I did theater for a really long time, and so warm-up was always various tongue twisters.
Yeah.
And the best tongue twisters have very different sounding syllables in very short words because it's hard to transition from a soft sound to a hard sound.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Yeah. And so, but it was this one that I never forgot, but the kid has this like short, spiky kind of hair, take ties and crop an inch or two off of it, essentially. And I think it was he ended up being the guy who got the blue Digimon or got the blue suit on that one. It was like a slightly heftier gentleman who was taller than the rest, but wore this crazy blue outfit, like jumpsuit almost. But they didn't get Digimon when they showed up. The first, like, probably half of the show for that season is them going to these places and essentially looking for these special armors that once they essentially rolled in and obtained, they became the Digimon.
Like almost like enchanted armor pieces, more or less.
Yeah, that like turned them into Digimon.
So, like,
so it's
like mech Digimon.
More like Lady Devimon.
Okay.
Like if you look at how she's very humanistic, that's how they almost all came out. They like didn't become very bestial. Like the red guy is the one I remember the most because he was their big icon for that season. But he got like kind of a Naruto band, essentially, is the best way to put it. Like just a band right across the top of the head. Mm-hmm. And he gained these like tiny little horns. And then as you became more connected with your armor, the farther down your evolutionary track you could essentially go.
All right.
It was a really weird, really neat way for them to do it. Like, especially when you're hitting episode or season 5 or 6 and you're trying to find that way to like zhuzh it back
up. Relevant.
Yeah. And it was really cool, but I'm very curious. I have yet to see, I've seen the tamers. Like, I've seen some of the guys and it's like seen some of the tamers and stuff, but I haven't seen any of the Digimon from that time. So I'm curious if out of the card game, they're just going to cut the human transformations out.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did, purely because people are like so into just the Digimon as little monster guys.
Yeah, and that's why I was so curious. I'm actually doing a quick flip through because I have a new starter deck that just came out that we'll talk about here in a minute because the new starter decks are super cool. But I'm trying to see if they have a tamer in here or not, because that's kind of the nice pieces of these decks is getting free tamer cards, essentially. But it doesn't look like it. So I'm curious if they're going to just cut some of that stuff out or if it's just the starter deck they're kind of cutting some things out. But yeah, I'm really curious. I haven't gotten to open my BT8 yet, so I haven't had the time to like really jump into it and take a peek. But it doesn't look like there's any tamers in this one, which means that leaves plenty of options for you to put tamers in. Unfortunately, I just have really garbage purple tamers right now. So I've got like the mat that, or no, the I'm thinking of the black tamers that are garbage. The black tie that comes in the black starter deck is probably one of the worst, like, period.
Oh, no.
It's if you tap a Digimon to suspend it, suspend this card and untap or unsuspend that Digi or unsuspend one Digimon with blocker.
Mm-hmm.
Just so happens that most cards with blocker on them also super weak, at least in that starter deck. So
it's the Defender, but for Digimon.
Yeah, they're not as tough. Like they don't have that potency that you kind of need to actually use a blocker in it to survive. They better be rookie rushing you or tough. But it did have a couple of cool things that I learned about. Retaliation, really good. Death Touch, essentially. So that you're suddenly like, oh, look at all these blockers that I have. Two of them have Death Touch.
Oh, good.
That helped me win a game, but I think that's purple and not black too. But it was just a lot of,
and that's not like where Magic just uses the shade of, I'm using air quotes here, black, but they always color it purple on their products.
Yeah,
it's actually two separate colors.
It's actually purple, actually purple and actually black. So far, I have been most disappointed in black.
Oh,
like I'm.
Oh, that's sad to me.
It's really sad because like it's got a really cool. It has really cool thought behind it. It is purely the fact that too many of the Digimon are too low DP. Like
damage
digipoints.
Okay,
which damage points, digipoints,
sure
works
sure
out the same either way. But they're so low in power that it's a Digimon of equal rank is going to obliterate it 90% of the time, and by a good 1,000, if not more. And it's like, hey, I get that you guys are trying to keep this balance of, oh, it's got an ability, so we lowered its DP a little bit, you know, trying to keep things even, but you're taking away the effectiveness of this actual thing. If every time I go to block, I can't unsuspend it because it's already dead.
Would you be able to go and just like give a quick like elevator pitch for what each of the different colors kind of does, like as a theme kind of a thing?
Yeah, and I've learned significantly more since our last elevator pitch sure. for them. So yeah, I've actually got a decent bit more. Red is your stereotypical aggro.
Okay.
It is still about that trying to bump up your damage. It's, if we're talking kind of Magic, it's a very Golgari. That's red and green, right?
Gruul,
thank you.
Yeah.
It's very Gruul. It's very aggressively get things out there, and then if you're, depending on what kind of deck you're playing, they have a style called Rookie Rush, which is just about trying to get as many rookies as you like, level threes out, essentially. Okay. Playing a lot of hard casting and trying to get them out quick, because it doesn't matter what damage points you have, it matters that the attack hits the person, essentially.
Right.
And so they've got a version called Rookie Rush, and then I don't know what the technical term for the game is for it, but I call it Voltroning because that's what we call it in Magic.
Sure.
Where you're trying to stack, essentially.
Okay.
And that's very red, where it's stack as many abilities as you can, where it's like, when it's your turn, get an extra DP. When it's your turn, if you attack, you get to draw a card. When you attack, add security plus two, or things like that, where it's trying to let you hit for harder and kind of getting that green bulk up and push out.
Mm-hmm.
Blue is very memory oriented and bounce backy, kind of like blue is in Magic, and it's kind of bluey. It's very blue from Magic, where it's very much about controlling how much memory you have. They have one of my favorite cards to get in blue in my security stack, which most people would probably be like, why don't you want that in your hand? I really like when I get my Hammer Spark into my security stack because it's a zero cost that says gain 2 memory.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's great when it's in your security stack because people will generally play down to a low amount of memory and then attack you so they can get as much as they can onto the board and then commit with the swing before they play like their last card and push it into your turn. It's great when you get security checked at they've got 1 or even better, 0. They security check you, you flop that Spark Hammer. Cool, now it's 2 and it's my turn. I don't care how many more guys you had that you wanted to attack with, it's my turn now.
Okay.
And that's a really nice... That's very blue, in my opinion, of this. Like, cool, I'm just going to cut off you from there, and now it's my turn now.
Very tricky.
Yeah. Green has that very... Green is kind of a blue-green. It's kind of got that Simic feel to it, where it's kind of about controlling your opponent's Digimon more, and less about controlling the memory gauge, and more about the board presence.
Okay.
Where you'll do a lot of suspend this Digimon, so that you can have one of your bigger guys, because they're kind of green in that green fashion. They're a little bit bulkier than some of the guys, especially black, that they like you suspend it and then have that Digimon attack that now suspended Digimon so that you can clear it from the board.
Okay.
Without having to use like a delete card or something of that sort. It's kind of forces a more lockdown onto your opponent. Well, now instead of attacking you, I'm going to start taking out your Digimon to help thin out your board, essentially.
Okay, cool.
Yellow, yeah, red, blue. Oh, yellow was next, but I did green instead. Yellow is white.
Okay.
It's white. It's angels and healing. It's the only color I know of currently that has recovery in it, which is one of the points I was wrong about last time or wasn't quite clear on. Mm. It is you take a new card from the top of your deck and put it into your security stack.
Oh.
So, it's I'm sitting here playing with this deck. Obviously, mine is right side up because fuddling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be just a simple, cool, that's now part of my security stack.
Nice.
Which is great. It kind of thins out your deck, but it also, on top of that, gives you a good chance to actually like get some new things in there. A couple of them are like, hey, if you have 3 or less, recover 1. So it's like, hey, if you've already taken a bit of damage, here's a little bit of a bonus.
Okay.
I think most of them have a, like, you need to be at 4 or less and you can gain 1 and things like that. I think that they're trying to prevent people from going over the normal security limit.
Right, makes sense.
Which is nice, like, giving us a 1 to 2 and being like, hey, okay, you can recover 1. But that's most of white, or most of yellow. That's how close to white it is. I often accidentally call it white because of the same reason we were talking about with black, where it's mostly colored purple.
Yeah.
This one's one of those, like, Magic's always kind of had a yellowish tint to their white.
It's true.
This has that very... It is yellow, but because of Magic brain, sometimes call it white.
Well, and even in Magic, the white is, like, a sun shape. Yeah. So, yeah.
And it's got, like I said, it's got like a yellowish gold tinge to it.
Yeah.
Purple, we've talked about a couple of times. It's very black as far as Magic the Gathering is concerned. Mm-hmm. It is sacrificing your own things to kill out other creatures. It's reviving things from your graveyard if you have the things to revive from your graveyard. It's what had Retaliate, which is really a super, super good ability. Super good ability. Primarily because there were a couple times where I was able to give a couple creatures blocker and Retaliate. So I was able to... let them attack me, block, and let both of my, like, let a really cheap Digimon die out while taking out one of their, like, level 6s. Because I was like, well, it doesn't matter. He just needs to touch you. Death touch
boop
for the win.
Little boop.
Yeah, just a little boop. And then, but yeah, it's about kind of that grave recycle / just utilizing your Digimon to get what you want out of it, essentially.
Nice.
Like, lots of sacrifice one of your Digimon, delete one of their Digimon. But it's not an equivalent exchange. So you can delete a level 3 to take out a level 6, And there's that big jump in power as well.
That's 6 colors, right?
Yeah. Okay. And then, so technically there's seven now.
Oh.
I'll get into that in a second, too. Black is about very block-based, which is weird to me. Like, mm-hmm. it's very, like, I mean, it has, like, lots of blocker. It has lots of, like, things for helping with blockers.
Does it have a unique way to get damage through?
Not really.
Okay.
Like, that's part of the problem I think that it has is that I think, a black and purple deck would go great because if you could add that retaliate and stuff onto blockers, it'd work wonderfully.
Which brings me to my question. Is it, in Digimon, is it very much like, if you play a blue deck, you play a blue deck? Or can you be like, I'm going to play blue and yellow?
Yes, and that's actually part of our newer stuff.
Okay.
So black is blocky. I don't get it. I won't lie. There's probably somebody out there who's like, black is the best. Please send me a comment. I need to understand, and I just don't. The starter deck is garbage. Maybe it's better once you get outside of the starter deck, but
maybe, yeah.
As far as I've found, black is currently like their weakest color.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to be said with their seventh color being white.
Oh, so they did make a new white one.
There is white, but it's weird as F.
What's white?
White is essentially colorless.
Okay.
Except for once you've become colorless, you have to stay colorless.
Oh, weird.
So you can't mix white with any other colors.
You can. You can evolve. I could have my purple egg here. Like, I've got a few. I bought some of the new starter decks that we're going to talk about here in a bit. But they're also really handy for visual references. So I could have one here. And if I had a level 3 white, I could play that white onto it. Okay. But now it is a white card.
Okay.
And I have to evolve up from white unless a card has, like, a split or something, which we'll get into here right now, actually. And then there is, you were just asking whether you can play, if you play one color or two. The newest starter decks are indeed their first time meshing colors.
Okay.
I've done it personally at home.
What is that?
Times.
I cannot see it.
It's just got a split down the middle, like you were saying, where it's blue on one side and green on the other.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh, let me look.
They're really pretty.
That's what I was sitting over here while you were going on your little spiel. I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna let him do that. And I was just like, dude, these etched foils are just
they are very pretty.
God,
I don't understand
so beautiful.
Anything on this card, but it's awfully
but essentially,
pretty.
What you're seeing, Miss Hinanana. Is that play six is what you'd pay to hard cast it essentially onto the field. The two that you see underneath are telling you what level, how much, and what color are required. So
okay. So like for this one, you'd have to play 3 yellow and 3 purple?
No, you'd need to pick. You need to pick a level 4. The card's really tiny.
Yeah, level 4.
But if you have a level 4 Digimon, you can upgrade this as long as it's purple or yellow. You can upgrade it onto that Digimon, and then from there, you need to pay 3 memory.
So, okay.
So it's instead of paying its full 6 memory to play hardcast, I essentially get half that cost, but I need to have, here's a little bit, here's also a decent represent. So that one's one higher. So I'm handing her a couple cards. I just handed her
Mastamon
ST1005, which is Angel Woman, and then
Mastamon.
I handed her a ST1006, which is Mastamon. One is level 5, one is level 6.
God,
you'll see
really
that.
They're really pretty cards.
You'll see that the.
They really
killed
it with the art.
Yeah.
Sure.
You'll see that the Mastamon has a little level 5 and pay 5, and the 5 within the bubble, meaning I need an Angel Woman or a Lady Devimon, as I'm pretty sure there are other level 5 in here.
Yeah. Okay,
and
so if I had.
Pay 5 memory.
Gotcha. So if I had the Angel Woman, and I wanted to upgrade it to Mastamon, then I would just pay what I need to pay put this
memory
on top of it, and now it's that card.
Yep.
Oh, neat.
What's really cool, when stacking, though, we tend to stack like this, because any of those abilities that are on the bottom rung in like their own personal box are only active when that Pokemon is, when that Digimon is Digivolved.
Oh yeah, it even says right here, while you have a purple Digimon in play.
Well, it's its own thing on top of that. But yeah,
it's
got really cool, like, it's just these weird style of
inherited effect. I like that.
Yeah, and that's why they call it an inherited effect. Can only be used when it has a Digimon evolved on top of it, whereas on plays are only if you hardcast them. And then there's other ones that say, Mastermon actually has a perfect one that says when Digivolving, it specifically gets its thing, which is really neat. But yeah, so it depends on what colors you want, what splits you have. I think that the last one that they did was, I think the first one that they ever did was a red and blue? Red and green, maybe? It was Omnimon.
Okay.
And they brought, which he was like the first white card that they had brought in as well. And now they have slightly different ways about it. But yeah, it's white's really weird. I only have a few white cards and I haven't, they're not quite good enough that I'm like, oh yeah, I need to go hunt that down for my deck that I'm making. It's more of one of those.
I was just wondering because like you said, black is such a useless color from what you've seen of it.
Yeah.
But if you had that really good blocking capability and you mixed that with maybe a red deck or something like that, then you could have insane block, but also the potential to have really aggressive attacks.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of people, by what I'm telling, are using black and red for rookie rushing, getting as many things out there as quickly as you can, and even having a bunch of small guys with blocker on them just so that you can sacrifice them out to the block and then let everything else try to attack, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. I've played one that's so... I've built one that would kind of work that way, and it was okay. I built a yellow-black deck that was okay. I think the best, dual combo I've done so far was actually one of the colors that these did, which was yellow and purple.
Nice.
I think currently I was running a red and purple, I think was what I ended up running, because I wanted, a lot of people are just splashing red in because you can splash a red egg in, and essentially as long as you have a red egg or a red tamer on the field, you can play red optional cards. You have to have a color of whatever optional card you're trying to play on the field.
Okay.
So whether that's an egg, a Digimon, or a tamer of some sort. And then a lot of people will just hook in Gaia Force, which is just an 8-cost destroy target Digimon. just delete.
That seems like a useful card.
It's a super useful card, and that's why a lot of people are currently will be like, oh, I really want to play this blue deck, but I'm going to splash in one egg, two red tamers, and then I'm going to splash in 4 copies of Gaia Force. And what's nice is it doesn't matter if they trigger in your security stack whether you have something out on the field or not of that color. So if you happen to get that Gaia Force in your security stack, you don't have any reds, but you get hit, flip it, we'll pick a Digimon to delete.
Yep.
So
nice.
That's also another reason people will kind of do it, is hoping that it gets into that security stack so they can use it from there as well.
Gotcha.
As kind of just a debuffer of okay, get away from me now. But yeah, they just started their split color decks, which is real neat to me. It's very unique to me that they chose to do all purple cards though right off the bat, but it seems that even their lower level guys, they've decided to make multicolored. I've got a Salamon from the previous sets that's just yellow, but so it's kind of nice that they're bringing that multicolor down a bit, because it was before, I think. Yeah, the first multicolor I think we got was Omnimon, which was a level 7. So you essentially had to get to the peak of what you could evolve to and then evolve that one more. It was also a super rare or secret rare of one of the two. So it's also really hard to get a hold of. But I'm very stoked to see a more color combo set come out of them, if that's what 8's going to bring to us. I'm assuming so, because... normally you put out a starter deck around the same time you put out a set with the same flavor. So hopefully we're going to be seeing more of that kind of...
Normally.
Hopefully we'll see more of that build up.
I think that new hero set came out at the same time as these ones, didn't it?
It came out the same day.
Okay,
I just haven't had a chance to open my box. Accident, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Money got tied up real quick. Yeah, I was literally I was supposed to go pick up my Digimon tomorrow. Yep. I was going to make a trip specifically down here, even maybe that day that we got hit. I was already contemplating coming down here.
I keep looking in the parking lot when I pull in to see if your car's there, but I need to stop that.
Yeah. Eventually, I'll be driving the new car.
Yeah.
I'm glad that
everything went okay, though. I'm glad you guys didn't get injured in your car accident.
Yeah, nobody's hurt. All that. Too bad. We got some whiplash and it was all fine.
You're always going to have some ouch regardless.
Yeah. I'm just more annoyed my car's gone.
I get that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm stoked about the split. I'm hoping that we're going to see more of it, because that'll make making these kind of decks that I'm looking for a little bit easier. I've actually been contemplating a purple yellow deck, so I'm really stoked that I get to play a purple yellow deck. Mm-hmm. And should funds allow the flexing, I'll probably be buying a second one of each of these so that I can break it down, put it into the binder like I have been. Mm-hmm. But that also gives me excess, which is real nice.
It is.
Because I want to build my sexy ladies deck.
Oh, good.
That's half of what this deck is. It's Angel Woman and Lady Devimon. Oh, wow. They're halfway there already.
That's
there
fair.
Like, they're already trying for me, and I'm pretty sucked. Oh, my current one is red and green. That's what it is, because it's sexy ladies and big boys.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
I like to have themes to my decks, even if they're ridiculous themes. Like, especially with this, I am so much less competitive in the thought process, whereas, like, even Magic, when I'm trying to sit down and make a fun deck, mm-hmm. my brain still goes, yeah, but is that the optimal way to be doing this? This is a little more easier for me to be like, no, I just want really big dudes and cute girls.
I'm gonna be really curious to see in sets moving forward if they do more options for colors, because like that's a yellow purple deck.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is optimized for yellow purple.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see if they're gonna come out with like maybe a yellow green deck or like a purple blue deck or.
I think they're gonna start with colors that pair well together.
That's fair.
And that's where I think that the yellow and purple really pair well, because the other one is blue green.
Yeah.
Which I can see both of them working very well, because blue and green are very manipulative. Like I was saying, green's very manipulate the board state. Blue is kind of manipulate the memory state slash yeah. the board state.
I'd just be curious if they started coming out with cards that allowed you to mix whatever colors you wanted.
Yeah, I think I'm 90% sure that Omnimon Schwartz Zero. Yeah, that's a mouthful every time you want to
use the Schwartz.
but I'm pretty sure my Schwartz is stronger than yours.
My Schwartz is stronger than yours.
But I'm pretty sure he was like red black. So it seems like they are going to slowly but surely start expanding out into things that, like, if you've just been playing up till this point, you've seen Digimon that are both, like I was talking about Agumon and Gabumon. Gabumon's purple and blue. So why it'd make no sense to eventually not have a crossover of purple and blue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Both those Digimon land in those fields anyway. Agumon's very similar, where he's in red and black. We haven't quite seen a red and black mix quite yet, but it wouldn't be out of the realm of reasonability to see that come out.
Like you end up getting an Agumon that has the options, red and black. Like, hey, this guy's already red and black, so you can evolve him up with red or with black.
Or with black. And then depending on where you evolve from there depends on what color that Digimon is now. It is whatever color is on top. That's why Mastermon actually really nice, because it's split.
It's a
yellow
split.
And purple. So if you find a card that is a level 7 like Omnimon or whatever other big guys that they have up there in that weird level tier 7 that they've got going down, if it's yellow or purple, even if it's oh, you need a yellow or a green, or you need a purple and a blue. As long as it falls into that category, you're good to go. So that's one of the really interesting ones. It seems like white really does cut off your evolution, though, which is weird. I don't know how I feel about the white cards.
They might come out with more white evolutions as they go,
as time comes out. I really saw it. It really picked up. I think we saw our first one in BT6, we got the like main tamer from Cyber Sleuths, like the main cohort there. And then I started seeing actual like Digimon and kind of evolutions of that in BT7. So I just a little bit, like literally one Digimon per level tier. So it was very weird.
So in the show, because all of my knowledge of Digimon is based on the show, usually there's a, like, similar to Pokemon, there's usually a linear progression of how the Digimon evolve.
Yes and no.
Okay. Because the cards kind of confused me, where you're like, oh, if you have a level 5 of this color, you can take any level 6 and make that, which seems weird to me when you have something like Agumon, who's just this cute little dinosaur, and then you're like, but I'm going to turn it into this thing instead.
It's all Agumon's choice, actually. It's his choice of what he's evolving in. So it's a mixture of his choice and Matt's teaching.
Okay. I get that in theory. It's just weird to me to think that something like, oh, I don't know, that cute little cat bouncing Meowmon could evolve into an angel. Like that, that freaks me out a little bit.
Oh, well, it's because it turns into Salamon or Potamon, which then from there has like its normal lineal progression. It is where you have to kind of remove yourself. So that is a weird portion that I also have recently discovered since playing the game.
But I guess it makes sense because they are all game code.
Yeah. So it
they're
is...
They're not actual animals that go from child stage to adult stage. Yeah. They're game code.
You kind of have to play some of their video games to understand it. Because even if you just play Digimon World, I think is the first, is one of their games.
I have no idea.
It's like a PlayStation 1 game. I'm not saying that you should go find it, but go find it. It's fun. But
no
depending
pressure.
On, but depending on how you like raise your Digimon, so I was trying to get Garurumon, like a were-Garurumon. And essentially what I needed to end up doing was getting his stats to a certain point and his weight to a certain point and then waiting out age. And if by, call it obligatory number, day 15, you have this many spirit, this much this, and they weigh this much, they should evolve into this creature. And so it's part of training slash part of like how you personally help them and take care of them, essentially.
Okay.
Agumon and all the guys that we see from the show are kind of pre-trained, essentially. And then once they made their decision, they just kept making the decision to go back that way. If you go to one of the games I really want to try is Cyber Sleuth. Everybody I've talked to about loving Digimon and stuff like that is like, that's the video game to go play.
Is it like an open world one or something? Or like a free adventure-y kind of like almost like Pokemon style like world adventure where you're going through and
yeah,
doing stuff?
Yeah, their Digimon world is very that way as
okay,
well.
Okay, cool.
You get like little sections and essentially you start like discovering the island of the Digimon island, essentially, is what you're kind of going for
cool.
in the world. Cyber Sleuths is kind of brings us people into it a little bit more, where like we're going to be actually like training these Digimon for this world event that's kind of happening. But what's really cool on that one is that you can evolve Katomon, is his name. He is the tiny little pink breath guy.
Yeah.
But you can evolve him all the way. What people will do to get certain moves and certain abilities is they'll evolve him to a war metal Greymon, right? And then they will de-digivolve him back down to where they want him and then be like, okay, well, I want the death Greymon. Like the when Tai messes up and like really causes Agumon to go crazy, you can de-digivolve
him. I don't think
him.
I watched that one.
But I could be like, all right, the easier way is I could undigivolve him back down to that Katomon and then re-evolve him into a Bergeromon.
Okay.
And then suddenly I've got, we'll call it Metal Claw or whatever, insert random ability name here, but now I've got Metal Claw from Metal Greymon, even though I've digivolved all the way down, but once he hits that certain tier level, that move is still open to him because he's learned it from being a Metal Greymon still. So
all
now
right.
I can have a Phoenixmon with Metal Claw on it because it has that knowledge from over here.
But that would be in the game, right?
Yeah.
Not so in the card game.
Not in the card game, but in this video game, Cyber Sleuth. And so that's where they really start showing the like how to evolve and de-evolve like Digimon and how they can take their own paths.
The game is just, I just looked it up really quick to get an idea. Crazy highly rated.
It's
like
everybody I know who likes Digimon is like, no, seriously, it's like $30. Get on your Switch and go buy it right now. I actually just saw it on Steam.
Yeah, yeah.
For
it's
like $30-ish bucks. And it's
Got
do
like,
you happen to be on Steam's page right now?
No, but I just saw on the reviews just to get an idea of what it was about. There's like 9 out of 10 on Steam.
Yeah.
It's
I was
like
okay. Is there a 9 or 9.5 on Steam
yeah.
for just
that's
such a,
actually that's kind of crazy.
It
is
like
yeah.
for a game on Steam.
It's also like from 2015, if not older.
There's a sequel that came out in 2017.
Yeah, and that's
God.
What the combo gets you. If you buy the combo, you get the first one, the second one,
oh, cool.
and then I think all the DLCs for all of
nice.
Them, which is really rad. Yeah, I am very much twiddling my thumbs, like waiting. if these had not been my fun money.
I hear you.
That's probably what I would have gotten was Cyber
George, you got to
point.
You got to leaf through the blue green deck. Was there anything super? I mean, it they all look so pretty. I don't
just cards.
For fear of you know like not paying attention to us actually talking here, I didn't like go deep diving into what the cards did, but I did kind of just take a quick look and I was seeing the whole like split thing going on. So Drew's explanation to that definitely helps make more sense, but.
There's just so much more text on these compared to like the first starter decks and stuff like that. Like I've come across two cards now that haven't had like multiple abilities on it.
And then all, like look, low key. Like half of the cards in this are so shiny. Like some of the basic like little guys, like the Digi Eggs and stuff, are just like regular cards. But then like almost half of the entire deck are just so pretty with like a crazy foiling job and like some like spot varnish looking stuff on the like the actual things it's themselves. And
some of the highest production for cards. Ever like, seen the, and
the fact that this is a starter set is kind of wild to me. Like they definitely it makes my like, my inner shiny cardboard goblin happy.
Check out your check out the end of your
I saw those
counters. Like I'm really glad that they're making the change to these. Like, yeah, it was really nice to have these kind of flimsy papery ones that your rules and stuff are going to be on.
Right.
I like how this card that you passed me, the inheritance and effect, is just nothing. like it's there. It says that it's there, but it's just a dash.
Yep.
yep.
Seems
well, that's
good.
The thing. So all of them always have an inherited effect box. It's just whether somebody actually has an inherited effect. Okay.
That just seems silly to but, do. Like,
this is a ridiculous one to me. It's a level 5 that on play, if you just hard cast it for 6, deleted to level 3 Digimon. That's ridiculous to me. Like, that's... That is such a rookie rush pusher at that point to me, but
they definitely went a little fan service-y with some of these Digimon.
That's what I was saying.
your ladies deck,
big boys and sexy ladies.
I was like, man, this is that girl has a very tiny waist and very very large assets.
But yeah, that's how all the art to this is, though. And that's what makes me laugh at it, is that you look at it and you're like, this is a kid's cartoon. At least last time I saw it was a kid's cartoon.
I mean, even Pokemon, though, is starting to go in that direction with some of
Lot
their...
Bunny.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Yeah. They're getting weird with it out there.
Like, they started with some of their, like, just human-esque Pokemon, and then they were like, you know what? What if we just made this even more fan servicey than we already do?
Yeah, well,
this is a kids' show.
I think I think the Pokemon's just finally understanding that a good chunk of their audience these days isn't kids.
I know. It just throws me off every time I look at something that's supposed to be like a kids' show or a kids' game, and I'm like, that is
very robust.
A very robust lady.
And you're like, I thought this was for kids.
the children.
The children.
The blue-green one seems pretty... I mean, I guess that makes sense because you were saying the is going to be your yellow-green or something was going to be big or whatever. Like
I'm doing a yellow-red right now.
This one, the blue-green one, seems like the big boy's half of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a... I thought about doing green, but... Yeah, it's now I've got a sexy ladies deck, and I'm happy. I'm super stoked about that.
So you bought. You didn't even have to build. You got a sexy ladies deck and a big boys deck.
I'm gonna have to make it better though. I can already see a few spots that I'm like, I could use this one instead.
A little touch up here.
Yeah, a little touch up here. A little touch up there. Things that I've been looking at, but I'm super stoked. I love where this game is going so far. They also haven't suddenly like jacked up their prices to be hurtful.
I think, like, Digimon does pretty well, the card game does pretty well, but I think that they're still shaky enough that they're not going to risk jacking their prices up for a little while.
Yeah. I think the only thing that really bummed me out about ST9 and 10 is that there weren't packs in them.
Oh, that's too bad.
Pretty much your first 6 starter sets come with packs in them, mm-hmm. And then even when they did like their fancy red and blue, which I have a weird obsession to call Ruby and Sapphire, that's just the Dragon Shield sleeves I got, and I was like, wow, this matches so perfectly, though. but they did at least, hey, here's 6 super rares. They're all the same super rares, no matter what deck you buy, but here's at least something extra. It was weird to have the same style packaging, essentially.
Was the price different?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, so your starter decks were $10.99. Their big Uber one where they did the extra super rares was either $12 or $13.99.
Okay.
These are $12.99.
Oh, okay. See, I was like, did they lower the price because they didn't include cool stuff?
Or? Well, these ones are $12.99.
Yeah.
So I think the other ones were $13.99 with the secret rares, but I'd still rather pay the extra dollar.
Well, yeah, I'm just happy that at least they didn't charge you the same price for less product. It's, like, that was my concern there.
The only thing that I can tell that's the real big difference between these and, like, our original starter decks is the memory gauges on the back are those weird half metal style memory counters, which came out of the fancy ones, which was cool. I'm a much bigger fan of these than those papery ones, like I was just saying. But other than that, that's about it. And that they're multicolored. And of which, if you just release multicolored cards in your packs and things like that, I mean, it's, I don't know that if that's worth the three extra bucks essentially from.
I mean, $12.99 for a starter deck of pretty much any game.
Not
is,
bad.
Yeah.
It's like, still not bad. It's but it's just good. One of those things of like, I don't know if that's worth the extra couple bucks.
or the
fact that they're split to begin with.
Well, they're from Bandai, which.
I think they just had a price jump.
I was going to say, everything from Bandai had a price jump because of the exporting and importing fees. Global shipping has gone up tremendously over the last couple of years. I work in internet orders. I've seen the shipping go up. So it makes sense an extent that they have to raise the price, but I'm glad they're not gouging the price.
Yeah. I'm glad that it went up a little bit, that we still got at least something nice out of it. But it would have been nice to get two or three secret rares with it even, or, you know, or a pack of the new set that's comes out that literally drops the same day. So that wouldn't be out of realm of possibility of, okay, well, we're just going to release all of this and put one of these new packs in.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what they did with the first ones.
In the first run of the decks, it's like maybe not half, but like a full third of this deck is foil.
Fair enough. There was not that many foil in the first one.
Okay.
So that is actually a pretty good.
Very pretty.
That's a fair argument, actually.
So they're like, hey, we didn't give you a bunch of extra packs, but we gave you a ton of foil cards.
Fancy looking cards.
Mm-hmm. And those cards, they are beautiful looking cards.
The art to this, how they managed to get more or less a full colored manga panel per Digimon card is... I don't know how they managed to pull that off and not have it
these
look
these cards
super
are some
cluttered.
Of my favorite types of foil, too, where the whole card isn't foil.
Nope.
It's pops of foil within the artwork. Like
that embossing slat. I think they're calling it etched foil.
Yeah. Those are always my absolute favorite kinds of foils because it just looks so polished and put together. And like they really took the time to make the cards look nice instead of just being like, we'll just put a shine on everything.
Well, and I think that they...
Looking at you, Watsy.
Well, I think that also comes down to the fact that these guys have had plenty of time since making their Chronoscape game. All the ones with the Evangelion Naruto... Godzilla one.
Oh, Chrono Clash?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
I think that since they did that, they've had plenty of time to see the crap that WotC's going through currently with people being like, hey, why is my 10-year-old foil bent?
Mm-hmm.
I've had it in a binder the entire time and it's still bending. Why is that? And they're like, well, technically the skin gets tighter and sorry, we can't do anything about it.
Oh, is that something that's actually happening?
That's a big thing in the Magic community
over
the last couple of years where a lot of people are like, you guys need to figure this out more. And the community has kind of put a little more pressure on them to be like, hey, we want our cards to not go bad in 5-10 years because of curving of foils.
That seems fair.
They have been able to do a good job in the past, like a long, long time ago. Like some of those old border foils that you were looking at in like the binder.
Yeah,
like those
they're in beautiful condition. Yeah. I don't know what they did to change.
They got cheap. What?
But that's the thing is that I think a lot more companies are starting to think about trying to do something similar to what these guys are doing, where they're doing like the etched foils and things like that. And the slash embossing is almost a better term for it of the foils. Where I'm not 100% sure, and I'm not pulling a card apart to find out, but I'm pretty sure that on those like etched foils and stuff, that there is layer of card, layer of foiling, layer of card, and then they etch out down to that foiling, essentially.
That would make sense.
And that's giving you support from both top and bottom, helping sandwich that foiling, even if it's a super cheap foiling, having it encased within it essentially is going to help keep that shape.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the only thing I can guess. I'm not a professional in card building. And by that, I mean actually making the cards themselves.
I know for like artwork foiling and stuff like that, it's actually a layer that goes on over the top generally of your artwork. Like if you're getting prints done that have foil embossing on them.
But that's what Magic's running into is that that foiling's not living up to life expectancy of the card.
And that comes down to not getting good prints made. Because like...
We haven't seen that from...
In like traditional art media, right? Like there's a ton of companies I can go to get foil embossing done on my art if I want to make art prints of stuff.
Yeah.
If I go somewhere really cheap, the foiling is going to be really cheap.
Yeah.
If I spend the money on a really good, high quality company, that foiling should last for a very long time without any issues.
And that's the thing is I think that card games like Magic that are trying to keep that X price point per pack essentially had to go cheaper. The price of that stuff went up. They had to keep it at a cheaper point, but that's also
now
they got
bought out by Hasbro, and Hasbro's really cheap.
And they've now just lost that ability to do these really good cards, but now it's coming out of, hey, seriously, I bought a card and I've got a couple Gatecrash cards that are in boxes wedged between 200 to 300 other cards that if I pull it out, It instantly starts to pringle. Yep. It instantly starts to pringle. I like that term for it.
Yep.
Pringle.
I didn't come up with it, but it's definitely a good one.
That's the best way to put it. It gets that weird...
That's so disappointing. I wonder if it has... Hey, George, I wonder if it has anything to do with the printing quality of the books that I've been getting recently.
Oh, my God. It couldn't.
It's just one of those things that...
I have not bought a 5e D&D book since Tasha's. Since Tasha's. And even before then, I had some issues. I have not bought a single one that hasn't had a printing error in it.
So I'm guessing that box that you just took home has a bunch of printing errors in it?
There's only one. It's two pages in one of the three books.
That's not a good track record.
I was so excited. I opened up the box set. I was flipping through all the books. I looked through the Tasha's one. I looked through the Volos one. And then I was like, oh, Monsters of the Multiverse, the book that I bought the set for. And in the last third of the book, I opened it up to two pages that were still stuck together. They weren't cut. And I was like, what?
Did you send a strongly worded email?
I'm going to. I've been letting my mad cool down a little bit because I was just gonna send an email that was not nicely worded.
Send it with froth and venom added.
I sent George a message on Slack and I was like, "Hey George, you'll never guess what happened with my D&D books."
God,
and I'm just like, but why?
Getting
cheap printing.
Sidetracking us again, I think WotC should hire me as the quality control person for all of their printing because I have the ability somehow, the most useless superpower in the entire freaking world, to find the misprinted books.
Mm-hmm. Well, you heard it here, WotC. Hannah is taking employment for QA if you want it.
Just, oh my gosh, please.
That'd be a pretty easy side gig for you.
Right? I just flip through books all day. I'd be happy to do that.
Don't forget to get some of that fingertip stuff, because, man, the cracking of the fingers would be bad.
Yeah, I flip through books all day anyway.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But... Yeah, I've seen a lot of good things coming out of this. I hope that they just keep on at least a relatively similar track to what they're doing and don't get too big for their own britches and just keep going, please. Just keep doing what you're doing now and everybody's going to be pretty happy.
Good quality, good fun.
Yeah. You know what? Even their boxes peaked in price a little bit. So yeah, that overall general uppage, we're just seeing that here.
Which,
just
I mean...
It's still...
People will pay... a little bit extra for better quality. People will pay a little bit extra for good things.
And that's the thing, is that their quality is so far worth me paying that extra couple bucks. I think that boxes are still cheaper than Magic.
Yeah, oh, for
which
sure.
Which is kind of cool. I think there's less packs in them. Like, I think there's 24 rather than 36, but...
It depends on the set of Magic that you're looking at, I guess, but...
Yeah.
I'm trying real hard to go into, like, a negative skewed, like, WotC rant, but...
go into Iraq.
No,
feel free.
Just there's a price increase that is actually going to be happening on their actual, like, regular standard release sets, at, like, starting with the next one.
So they're going to stop being $3.99 and go even higher?
They're going to have to.
WotC, with love, GTFO.
It's because Hasbro bought them.
I
can guarantee you it's because they got bought out by Hasbro, because Hasbro is the horse.
Something like that.
And they overprice everything they sell.
I was trying really hard not to bring it up, but then
I was making
like faces and stuff and like trying to like hold it in, and then I just said it anyways.
I think we could do an entire episode where I just scream about WotC and Hasbro for an hour, because I have some strong opinions about it.
Cool, that'll be our next episode.
No,
have a hate on Hasbro.
Hate on Hasbro.
Why? Hasbro's not going to work with us. They don't want to help little guys like us out, so why should we help them out?
If you at home want to hear us have a little venting session about some very obscure specific points of WotC, Wizards of the Coast doing shenanigans,
and
Hasbro more specifically.
Let us know.
We complain about them all the time. Just need to have an episode where it's like, this is us venting our frustrations about these two companies.
I mean, hey guys, if you want us to just do a vent episode where we talk about all the stuff from all of the different companies that we don't like, we can do that. We try and keep it pretty positive and light here, but we have some strong opinions.
Yeah, I love gamers everything
yelling at gamery things.
Yeah, everything I love, I hate just as much, probably. It's a thing. I have seen too many of those guys who are like, this is the best, there's nothing outside of this. And then when you come to them with a full fact, this sucks, they're just like, well, it's one thing out of the thing. No, that's a pretty big blip on your radar here, man. It's that can ruin this for some people. I think that you should accept the bad parts of what you love. I love Magic. I know it's expensive. It's just something I have to deal with when I want to play that. But when you start bringing my booster packs above $3.99, I stop giving a crap about your game.
Yeah.
Especially because, no offense to them, you can't tell me it's a shipping thing.
No, you can't.
I live in Washington State. You can't tell me it's a shipping thing.
Yep.
When one of your closest printing productions is near Seattle and Texas.
Yeah.
International shipping BS-ery, you're just charging us more.
Oh man, I could get into an economic rant here, and we're not gonna do that today. You get any follow-up, like, final thoughts on Digimon? You guys,
I love Digimon. I love the fact that they're trying to hold to that standard card play of $10 to $15 to get into the game,
mm-hmm.
and $3.99 a pack up. Like, that I think a few less cards come in this, and normally that's what kept me feeling fine about playing Magic for years, was that, yeah, I pay $3.99, which is generally the same price you pay for Pokemon, you pay for Yu-Gi-Oh, unless it's a thin set, which it's weird that they do these weird thin sets, but it's, yeah, hey, I'm pretty much paying for the same, you know, paying the same price as all these other guys, except mm-hmm. for some of these other guys are getting 8 to 10 cards, and I'm at least getting 15 every pack.
Yeah.
You know, at my $3.99. It might not be the best ratios and stuff with their whole set and collector booster garbage that they're doing now.
But you're not wrong.
But, you know, that was one thing that kept me feeling good about playing Magic was, yeah, I'm still spending $3.99 like everybody else is, but at least at best I'm getting 4 extra cards off of it, you know?
That's
like,
fair.
That at least makes me feel better. Once you change the price to that, it's not going to feel nearly as nice. And I like that these guys are trying that. Like, they're doing what they can to try to keep prices reasonable for us as sellers to still sell at a reasonable price to people, and that are what's supposed to be your relatively cheap fun card game. Like, Magic's not that expensive if you play casually,
right?
If at the most you're like, oh, I go buy a couple of packs, you know, once every 2 weeks I buy 3 packs,
right?
You know, it's
right.
A nice easy round number, and then I'm done. Cool, you spend $26 maybe a month on Magic, and probably by second month of the set, you're probably not going to be as like, oh, I need to get out there and get that, and you'll probably cut down a little bit.
Unless you're talking about this year, and then the next set will be out already.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, is if they're going to up their price, and they're now dropping sets almost every month and a half.
7 this year. Yeah.
I wish you people could see my face.
That yep, was.
We should have a Watsy Rant episode at this point.
We had our Games Workshop one. No, we'll just move on to Watsy.
Shooting us in the foot.
This podcast is going to turn from, hey, these are the games we love, to like, let's just talk about the things that make us mad.
I hated on G-Dub a little bit, but I tried to stay relatively upbeat for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially having our good friend Robert here.
Yeah. That was a nice follow-up.
He was what like made me enjoy Warhammer for a while, just he and I playing Kill Team seeing the calmer side of that crowd and being like, oh, so there are guys out there that just want to have fun with this. Just, all right, my minority ruins it for the majority. Gotcha. But having him around helped kept me a little more upbeat with it and a little more on the fun side. But
what about you, George? Any closing thoughts?
Honestly, ever since you taught me how to play this game, God, it must have been a year or more ago now at this point,
probably.
Super fun game. Like, it's one of those things where you can just casually dip your toe in and just play a little bit, which is what I have done, like, thanks to you being able to, you know, like, play with your stuff.
I still have that yellow deck at home for you.
Sweet. Oh, hey, that's awesome. We could totally even, like, use Spell Table to play or something if you wanted to.
I was actually just going to be like, you know what, I might go set up Spell Table when I get home today.
Yeah, but no, in general, if you're looking for something that's pretty easy to learn, like, there's definitely, you know, a little bit of a learning curve, but whether you've played other trading card games or not, it's a fun one to get into. The artwork is fun, you know, just pick a deck that looks fun to you and give it a shot.
That so far has been my favorite part. Well, this looks neat. I'm gonna play with it. Right. Oh, it's actually kind of viable.
Exactly.
I just think they're neat.
Yep.
There's also, I think this is one of the few games that really does have one of those opposites. Like, Black being so shut downy is kind of to fight Red's Rookie Rush style, you know, things like that. Like, there's just a very clear, like, these oppose.
A bit like a rock, paper, scissors style kind of thing.
Yeah. That's.
But, like, with, you know, like Lizard Spock and all the other different ones involved.
It's totally a rock, paper, scissors, Lizard Spock. That is the best way to put it.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm glad that you enjoy it for the few times we've gotten to play and for how simple it is. Like, I don't know. I don't know any other card game that I've taught people that's this fast that's like a TCG.
But I could see, like, in a weird way where, like, competitive Magic looks a lot different than regular Magic. Like, I could see the competitive tables of Digimon being pretty intense. They're like, just with, like,
terrifying.
The nuances. Yeah.
No, it's how fast they play.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, even in heavy Magic tournaments, it's slap, slap, slap. It has that, like, rhythm to it. Nobody's trying to rush through. It's almost like they're rushing. Like, that they're like, you have 20 minutes to play this game, and whoever does the best wins. And they're just, like, I'm not kidding. I saw a dude who was like, I slap this, I slap this, I slap this, I slap this. And I was like, God, what the heck? Just, like, I had to rewind it two or three times just to catch everything that he had just whipped
down. It's just a game of slapjack.
That's very much, it felt that way when I was watching some of the World Tournament.
Or War.
Yeah, very warlike, where I'm like, you're just seeing dudes just slap, 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 I attack. And then the other dude's like, cool, I block, I clean this one up, I clean that one up, you killed this guy, here's my security check, it's my turn, I flap, 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 and you're like, guys, like, I get that you're probably trying to, like, be reasonable and not make this take forever, but it's okay if you breathe and, like, take a sip of water in between playing a card. Like, it's okay, but this game's built to be more... How we try to get things to run in Magic is how this is actually supposed to work. Like, how we try to get that, stack those numbers, get that probability into your hand and get it going. These are, unlike Magic where you might put two or three win conditions in, this is one of those ones where you might have two.
Sure.
Other than that, it's a pretty one win condition solid state that I've seen a lot of, even like the pro players and watching some of the dudes who have played in the pro tourneys do stuff.
But nice.
Watching them terrifies me. I'm like, I can't even read your cards fast enough before you're like, cool, cool, cool.
Yep.
Next card's already hitting the table, and you're like, God, please, just simmer.
But exciting stuff.
I'm excited to get a little more in.
Yeah.
It seems every time I play, I learn just a little bit more, you know, and have
I'm looking forward to revisiting Digimon next year so we can see where it's come and what it's done. And
I'm excited for more of these. I'm super excited for more multicolor starter decks where they're going to be like, hey, just in case you are wondering, you can totally mix colors. They tell you in the rule set, but it is
Not the most intuitive thing.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel the best to start with. I think around 5 or 6 is when we started seeing like actual multicolored cards into the decks and stuff. So it wasn't so, okay, well, I'm playing a red deck and a green deck and the best of those both worlds in one deck. It's, no, I'm playing a red-green deck now. Or, you know, green-blue and
or whatever,
yellow-purple. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm going to go home and study for driver's tests and play Digimon.
That sounds like a good day.
Well, thank you guys for hanging out.
Yeah.
Talking about Digimon, digital monsters.
Thanks for hanging out, guys, and letting me ramble about how much I love this silly, tiny little game that's just so much fun.
Happy to oblige.
Happy to oblige.
But, yeah, and with that, we'll go ahead and slide in our decks, close up the cabinet, and we'll catch you guys next time.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/ADV Underground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground, copyright 2018, all rights reserved.